On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
We're beginning the season of Advent today, and what more appropriate book could we do so with than this new wonderful compilation, A Radiant Birth, Advent Readings for a Bright Season. It's edited by Leslie Leland Fields and Paul J. Willis. It's from InterVarsity Press for Moscow. Leslie Leland Fields is the award-winning author of 12 books, the founder of Your Story Matters Ministry, and she lives in Alaska, but we're talking to her from California. So this is a real bi-coastal thing going on today. She leads the Harvester Island Writers Workshop in Alaska, and we are so pleased that she is here with us today and making time to talk about all of these wonderful people that they have put together in order to have Advent readings for every day of the season. So, Leslie, thank you so much for making time to talk to us today.
I am very happy to be here, and especially to talk about this book, which is brand new. It's only been out for a month or so, and so this is its first Advent season, so I'm thrilled to be here.
The wonderful thing about the season of Advent, and understandably, for those folks who are in non-liturgical denominations, let just take a moment to explain to you that Advent is the season of the four Sundays, that includes the four Sundays that occur before Christmas. And this year that's interesting because the fourth day of Advent is Christmas Eve. It doesn't always fall that way. Advent is an ancient observance of the church. It's a time of reflection and a time of wonder.
Yeah, and I would add one more W word to that, a time of waiting. Yeah, Advent is from the Latin Adventus, which means arrival. And so we sort of follow the ancient church observance of waiting for the arrival of God in our midst. And of course, that came through the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us. God came to us. And through this, the arrival of this little baby, this human baby, which is a very unique way for a God to arrive on earth. If you look at all the pagan stories and myths and creation stories, it's definitely unique for God to arrive in with such vulnerabilities. But Advent is more than the arrival of Jesus as a baby. We also are still in a time of waiting, Dave, because we're awaiting his second arrival. So I think there's that sense of waiting should still be present, even as we celebrate his first arrival.
The very idea of having to wait is really tough for Americans, isn't it? We are a people who, I've heard it described, and maybe it was in one of the essays in this book, that we are a people who actually celebrate busyness and productivity. We don't like to waste time. We greatly value people who use their time wisely, and waiting with nothing other than when is God going to show up seems to be counterintuitive, which it really kind of is, which is why we need it.
Yes, but I think the idea of waiting, when we think about waiting, I think we think of passivity. We think of, I don't know, sitting in a chair with our hands folded, or, you know, we have some sort of negative idea with waiting. But I think waiting can and should be active. And when I think about the parables that Jesus told, the maidens who were waiting for the bridegroom to appear,
right.
And they had to be ready, and ready meant that they kept oil in their lamp. So I suspect they weren't just sitting there. I think that they were doing whatever they could to be ready for his coming. And this book really celebrates and I think inspires that kind of waiting as well. We haven't talked about, I don't want to jump ahead too much, Dave. I know we've got a few minutes together.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
The three-part division of this book, I think, is so good because it moves us it moves us, I think, where we're supposed to be. So the first third of a radiant birth, the first third of the readings, it starts with Jesus born in Bethlehem. Of course, right? This is, you know, this is where, when the first appearance of God with us, Jesus is born. So there are all kinds of beautiful poems and stories that celebrate this wonder of God coming to us as a baby. The second section is readings around the theme of Jesus born in us. So Jesus born in Bethlehem, then Jesus born in us, because that's what he came for. Not to be a God who is far away, but a God who actually dwells within us, which is mind-blowing. We can never quite get our hands or our mind or our heart around that. But then the last section of readings is Jesus in us for the world. And so that's kind of... Is Jesus born in us just so that we are at peace with God? I mean, wonderful, yes. But it's always more than that. Jesus is born so that we can be a light and so that we can bring God's love and his justice and his compassion to the world. So that last part, as we wait for Jesus' second coming, his second advent, we're not supposed to be, you know, sitting around folding our hands. We get out there into the world and let our light shine forth. And so there can be a beautiful kind of busyness about that.
The idea of Jesus returning and the idea of this season of the year being a sort of having an apocalyptic feel is not one that the non-liturgical brothers and sisters in Christ usually think about. Generally, it's just the straightforward Jesus being born in Bethlehem, because in the left behind kind of doctrine, the idea is that there's a very elaborate set of things that happen, and then the Christians are all taken out, and not all. And this is always a surprise to my friends who are absolutely have been taught the rapture is going to happen since they were children, and I say, well, you know, not all Christians believe that. And I said, as a matter of fact, most Christians didn't believe that until about 140 years ago. Prior to that, almost no Christians thought that there was sort of a set timetable. And they're always astonished, which leads to interesting conversations about what does Revelation really mean, what are the other what do the prophecies mean, etc. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on that, but I do like the idea that it does remind us that we are waiting, but we are waiting not just for waiting's sake, that we are waiting to see what God is going to do. And in the meantime, we are to be about his work for his kingdom.
So this is what I love about the whole Advent season and Christmas season, is that it really reignites for me. And there's going to be a lot of light words here, right? Radiant birth. There's just so much about light in the scriptures and the prophecies and the scriptures around the coming of Jesus. But that, what is that light for? And yes, it's for us, those whom Jesus will call his own and those whom he will save. But it's also so that we can shine that radiant light of the love of God to all those around us, and that's a privilege. It's a joy that we get to do that.
Amen to that. In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Leslie Leland Fields, who is an international teacher, speaker, and award-winning author of a dozen books, and she is one of the editors of a brand new book, A Radiant Birth: Advent Readings for a Bright Season. Along with Paul J. Willis, it's from IVP Formaggio, and in it, Christian literary writers of the Chrysostom Society reflect on Advent and Christmas time as a bright and meaningful season of anticipation and glory, with 42 readings from the first Sunday of Advent through Epiphany, which is January the 6th, which is the celebration of the Magi getting to the Christ child, which is sometimes called the 12th day of Christmas. So there's an awful lot of wonderful things that you guys went through, and you go through the centuries of writing. This is not just the people that have been writing since we've been alive. These are the people that have been writing practically as long as there have been people who called themselves Christians. The very person for whom the society is named is in here with the oldest, am I getting this right, the oldest Christmas sermon of which we have a record.
Yeah.
St. John Chrysostom.
Yes, yes, I know. I just find that so exciting. I almost named this book A Holy Feast, but then I thought, well, no one, people will think we're talking about, you know, Potluck Sunday or something.
or perhaps the Lord's Supper, but yeah.
Maybe the Lord's Supper. Okay.
Yeah, but probably potluck is more likely.
Right. But yeah, so this sermon was apparently written and preached in 386. So that's 1,600 something years ago, and that just boggles my mind. And it's a beautiful, powerful sermon.
Oh, yeah.
And it reads just as powerfully to us today, all, you know, more than 1,500 years later. So isn't that just so exciting, Dave, to see that that our faith has such, you know, has ancient roots, and it hasn't changed.
I think it's remarkable because it just says to me that the same Spirit has been guiding the people that wrote these things that we're going to be inspired in turn by as we read through this, all of these readings for Advent into Epiphany. The same Spirit's been inspiring all along, and it's evident.
Yes.
Because you're right. When I read that, I had not read before, even though I've read a lot of pretty old documents in different commentaries of the early church and so forth. But that, I thought, wow, this is really something. And when you read it, you realize you could read this right now, and people mm-hmm. would go, wow, if this mm-hmm. is still great, this is still relevant, this is still what we need to hear.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, and that's exactly right. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same, you know, our God is eternal and forever and unchanging and perfect in love and mercy. And so, yeah, we really get a glimpse of that when we see how God was moving his people so long ago.
Do we want to name specific things? Is that okay if I say, well, these are the ones that I thought were really great, or... Is it, because not,
yeah.
not everybody's going to agree with the ones that I like the best, but there are some that...
Yeah, but, yeah, I think you should do that, because everyone, when they pick up this book, like, everyone's going to have their own favorites, and I think it's good to call out some names and, you know, so people get an idea of some of the content.
One of them, this is always a wonderful surprise when I find out that my previous impression of an author was one thing and it turns out to be inadequate, and that is the first thing I ever read by Madeleine L'Engle, it was A Wrinkle of Time. And in it is not Christian. It has homages to Christ, but it also says that other religious icons are important beings and so forth, and so I was kind of sad about that, although I thought it was still a great story. But I thought, well, it's not really in the category of C.S. Lewis or something. And so then when I read these things that are in here, particularly Redeeming All Brokenness, which is mm-hmm. a reading for the first Sunday of Advent, I was really impressed. And as I read her other selections that are in here, I was really impressed by the fact that she is talking very Trinitarian, and she is talking very, very much Orthodox with a small O. And that thrilled me to know that I had misinterpreted the way that she wrote in the book for which she is most famous.
Yeah, and she has a whole, you know, huge body of work. So, and she was writing in a particular genre with A Wrinkle in Time. But yeah, there were so many poems. She has so many poems around the incarnation, the birth of Christ, around Easter and the resurrection, that it was difficult to choose. I mean, I don't know how many she has, except a great many, but I chose what the poems that I loved and that I thought were the most just the most beautiful and meaningful. And the thing about a poem is, and there's quite a lot of poetry in this collection, a poem works in our brain and in our heart. I think kind of like music, it doesn't go through the normal sort of, you know, intellect only sort of channel. I think it comes to a different part of the brain and the heart. It kind of cracks us open in a way sometimes that just prose or just a story can't do. So we do have a lot of poetry in here. And I was just before you called, I was rereading some of the poems, and oh my goodness, they just take my breath away.
I particularly like, is this Tanya Runyon?
Yes.
Joseph at the Nativity. Angel at the Nativity is pretty cool, but even more so Joseph. There was a song that came out 30 years or so ago by Michael W. Smith that is talked about how, I think the first line of it is, how can it be this baby in my arms? And it's Joseph's song, and it makes you think about what it must have been like for Joseph. And this is one of those poems that does the same thing. You know, here he is. He's not married yet. This is not his wife, but she's going to be giving birth to a baby that's not his, but he knows whose it is. How is he going to be the stepfather to the Son of God? What an enormous thing that's going to be. And yet here it starts so ordinarily. Like you were saying before, God came not in a burst of glory like he will when he returns, but instead is the most frail part of a human being. He mm-hmm. comes as a baby in the womb. There mm-hmm. are many times that things could have happened to him while he was in the womb that happened to women even to this day, and none of them did. And when he's born, he's nothing special. He's not glowing. He has dirty diapers. You know, he's a kid. He lowered himself to take the form of a human being with all of our frailties and ickiness. And that's a pretty extraordinary thing in itself.
It really is. And she really enters into the mind and heart of Joseph in the last stanza. And it's most of the poems in the book are short. So some people are like, poetry, I can't do that. No, they're short poems, and they always end with, as I say, this sort of heart-cracking opening. And I love that you chose this one to talk about. So the poem ends, and this is Joseph, and he says, "But I can only stand here, not a husband, not a father, my hands hanging dumbly at my sides. Do I touch him? This child who was mine and not mine, do I enter the kingdom of blood and stars?" And we realize that he had a choice to make too, to believe or not to believe. And that choice confronts all of us, right, as the season comes along. Do we believe or do we not believe that God has come to be with us?
The next thing that follows in the book is by one of my favorite authors. I've had the privilege of speaking to him a couple of times over the years, Philip Yancey, and it's a short essay called "In a Mad, Mad World, God Welcomes Our Merrymaking," in which he reveals that his father died at the age 23 of polio when he, Philip, was only 13 months old. Mm-hmm. And so he has no memory of any of that happening. All he knew is that he grew up where Christmas was not a very happy time because mom is still brokenhearted over her husband dying right before Christmas when she had an infant mm-hmm. in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he reflects on what it's like to be a child and why Jesus said you need to be like children if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, and talks references Friedrich Buechner's The Magnificent Defeat. Really, really interesting and very insightful, particularly because these are adults that are going to be reading the book, and they're not going to be reading them to their children. So we can reflect as we read this, of what it really means. What are the qualities of childlikeness that we need to embrace if we're going to be faithful followers of Christ?
Yeah, and I, you know, even this title is so good, In a Mad, Mad World. And Philip wrote this particular essay a few years ago, and it seems, I think the world is always a mad, mad world. And then we think, well, how can we possibly celebrate? How can we make merry and celebrate a merry Christmas when the hostages are being held and when the war in Ukraine is going on and when, you know, all of these things are happening around us? But it has always been so. It has always been so, and all the more reason for us to celebrate God who has come among us and who has come to give us joy,
yes,
even in the midst of the suffering around us.
Now, there's a two-parter for the second week by James Calvin Schapp called Somewhere in the Judean Hills, and this has to do with what it must have been like to have been the small shepherd who got stuck with the crummiest duties when the angels show up and everybody says, let's go see this new Messiah. You stay here. And watch out for the wolves. And
yes.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Everybody have fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this story too. So James Calvin Stopp is, he is the author of many books. And this was a story that he originally wrote for children in his church, in his church's celebration. And he sent it to me, and I loved it. I said, this is a wonderful piece for children and also, you know, the rest of us who are still children.
Hmm.
So it's a piece of fiction, and with the dialogue and what happens between the shepherds talking to one another, and then, I mean, the whole thing, it really puts us there in those Judean hills, experiencing that whole incredible night with them.
Yes, yes. I also like a piece that you included, that you wrote, because it's a reader's theater. And I always like, when I was a pulpit pastor bivocationally for 29 years, and one thing that I always was challenged to do was try to find a way to be a little more creative than just okay, it's time now I'll do a sermon. And how do we break out of that a little bit, and how do we make things a little more interesting and therefore make people think a little differently than every time that they hear a sermon about the nativity, it's basically the same message? And to me, this I really liked this, the fact that you have people who are there when Christ was born, who are part of the story. Some of them are people who aren't normally named, but we know that there were other people that were around. And so, how did you come to write He Came to Even Me?
Yeah, so I felt the same sort of frustration that you did, that, you know, come here comes this special holy season, and what are we going to do to celebrate it? You know, a lot of times we do readings with all the scripture passages, and that's great, but I've probably written five pieces of drama in readers' theaters, and this is the one that has been performed the most. It's been performed by several churches and my own church, and I really wanted to see, I mean, it's just so wondrous, you know, that God did come to be born as a baby, and that He comes even to us, even to me. And so we have all of these characters, real people in the story who actually lived, whom Christ came to. And it includes Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it also includes people like Herod. I mean, Jesus came to Herod. Herod, you know, made a different choice, right?
Right.
But all of the ways that Jesus has extended himself so graciously and so mercifully to so many of us, beginning with Mary and then the apostles and then, you know, that million afterwards. So I really want people to see this fuller view of Christ, not just as a baby in that manger, but as this gracious who continues to come to us, continues that arrival in us and to us.
I know our time is getting very short, but I did want to mention one of my favorite authors. I had the great privilege of speaking to him a number of years ago. He has since passed on to glory, Walt Rengren Jr. And and I think his Maundy Thursday, which seems, which on the face of it you go, wait, this is supposed to be Advent, but it really fits in really nicely, as does the one from Gina Auctioner, Old as Clouds, Wise as Wind. They're both for the fourth week of Advent. When you included this, obviously you must have read it prior to Christmas, because it stayed with you enough that you thought this, you know, despite the title, this will be so great to read at this time.
Yes, because this is about Jesus born in us. Right? And what does that look like? And what does that feel like? How have other people experienced that? And so Walter Wongren, this is him seeing this in his mother. And yeah, it's a fabulous piece. And I did have to argue with an editor about the title, because I thought, okay, people might be confused, but once you read it, you'll completely understand. And also, we can never separate, you know, the cradle from the cross. We can never separate those. If there's no cross, then there's no point in the cradle. And that's what, you know, this collection, A Radiant Birth, really paints this enormous canvas and helps us look at the baby, Jesus born in the manger for us, but it paints the broadest and most beautiful portrait possible of all that God intended through that radiant birth.
It's just a marvelous collection. There certainly are others that we could mention. The Sky Full of God's Children by Madeleine L'Engle, which is the last reading. I think that people will find this a remarkable collection, wonderful way to celebrate Advent this and every Advent season.
Mm. Well, thank you, Dave. I just appreciate so much that you have enjoyed the book and that we've had this time together. And yeah, I do hope that people will be able to get a copy of this book and to just, I think it really will. You know, the subtitle is Advent Readings for a Bright Season, and this can be just our brightest season yet, and we need that brightness,
yes,
and that light right now, especially in the world.
Amen to that. You can go to Leslie's website, Leslie Leland, that's LeyLand, fields.com, to find out more about A Radiant Birth. And also about her other 12 books and about the work in which she's engaged. Again, Leslie, thank you for making time to talk to us. I know this is a busy season, and I know this is the beginning of lots of interviews for you, so I hope that they go well and that people learn about your book and get invested in it as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. And I'm going to say it because of member Philip Yancey's piece. Dave, I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And to you too, Leslie.
Thank you.
So we start the season of Advent. We look forward to a wonderful season together. Hope you'll be listening in next time on your favorite radio station. And if you want to listen to it in between time, you can check our website, wtbfradio.com. You can also go for my podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. Until next week, this is your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Merry Christmas, and God bless.